chapter, we're going to preach a sermon this morning, how to maintain an attitude of faith. And I'm just going to say to you right now, if you don't need it, I do. And so, I mean, I need it whether you do or not. So we're just going to, I'm going to preach to me today. How's that? So if I get to saying something y'all don't understand, maybe you can say, well, he's preaching to himself right there. And I'll try not to get too personal because I don't want you to know too much about my struggles. Joe, I ain't going to reveal too much to you. Don't get your hopes up. Job, the first chapter, verse 20, it says this. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Amen. Isn't that great? Now look over at chapter 19, verse 25, and it just simply says this, for I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. That's all I want to read out of that verse. For I know my Redeemer lives. I want you to catch hold of that phrase today if you don't get anything else. I know that my Redeemer lives. That just sets the hair on the back of my neck. Just almost makes it stand up. Just something about saying that today. This makes me feel good all over. My Redeemer lives. So no matter what I'm going through, my Redeemer lives. I may lose everything I've got, but my Redeemer lives. Amen. So we want to talk about how to maintain an attitude of faith today. And how do we do that? How do we do that in a messed up, crazy world that we live in? We all know it's messed up. We know it's crazy. But how do we walk with confidence and holy optimism when things around us are collapsing? Every day we're exposed to all kinds of bad news through the media, from the latest Islamic terrorist attack to the latest moral madness in our world, from plane crashes to natural disasters all around us. And in your personal lives, there's things that seem like they're, can I use this phrase, going to hell in a handbasket. Just seem like nothing's going right all around you. And so how do we maintain an attitude of faith when all these things are going on? And then added to the world disasters and the madness in the world, we have very real hardships that all of us face in our own lives, from cancer diagnosis to unexpected divorce, and from painful maybe a church split. We don't have one, by the way, today, but that could be something that has happened in the past. And we go through these different things, maybe a split-second devastating car crash, or who knows what you might face before tomorrow. We just don't know. But you need to learn how to maintain faith, an attitude of faith, no matter what goes on in your life. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So how do we live with joy and expectation when we're surrounded by evil and calamity? If you live very long, you're going to understand that we're surrounded by evil. And all of our lives can be touched by calamity just in a second. In a split second, something bad could happen to you. I believe it was yesterday, a group of 13 to 15 motorcycles going down the road between Comanche and Duncan, Oklahoma. And just in a matter of seconds, there's one of them dead and 8 to 10 of them in the hospital. And almost all of them crashed their motorcycles because of one erratic driver. Not a motorcycle driver, but a person driving an SUV. In a split second, these men or women are out riding their motorcycles and everything seems to be just fine, having a great day, a beautiful day to be outside, and they're riding, and just like that, their lives have been transformed and changed. And it could happen to any of us at any time. We never know, do we? We never know. So I want to give you six principles this morning to enable you to live as an overcomer. I hope this will help somebody. Like I said, if it doesn't help you, maybe it'll help me and my wife today. Because whether you believe it or not, when numbers at a church go down, pastor and his wife, spirits go down. Can't help it. And everybody says, oh, don't get down, pastor, it's all right. Well, you walk in my shoes once in a while and try to build a church, And you just see how hard it is to maintain an attitude of faith when the people are faithless. I'm not talking about those that are sick. That's not who I'm talking about. We pray for them. We're going to do it before the service is over, by the way. We're going to pray for some folks, okay? Number one, keep your head above the details. Keep your head above the details. Every day we're bombarded with things, good, bad, and that go on around us. So some things seem to overwhelm to a point that we would give up and crawl into a hole, pull a hole in around us, or go somewhere and hope to die. Have you ever felt that way, that things seem so bad and so insurmountable and so overwhelming that you're so bombarded with it that you just want to dig a hole, pull the dirt in around you, and just die? Have you ever felt that way? Maybe I'm the only one who's felt that way at one time or another. I don't go that far very often, but there's times I walk outside my house and nothing really that bad going on, but I'll walk out in the yard and say, Lord, I'm about like Job. Lord, why did you even make me be born alive? Have you ever felt that way? Maybe it'd be better for me if I just die. I think about my life insurance. I thought, well, it'd be better for my wife. Then she wouldn't have to wash my dirty clothes. Put up with my ugly attitude. And I'd be in heaven and I wouldn't have to put up with hers. You mean Sister Stone gets an attitude sometime? Yep. So do you. So do all of us. We are bombarded. We are overwhelmed. We are almost overcome by things that go on in our lives sometimes. Some of them aren't even that bad when we have our meltdown. It's the other stuff that just keeps coming and keeps coming, and all of a sudden some little something will trigger something in you and cause you to have a meltdown. But you gotta keep your head above the details. Sometimes God, we feel like God is nowhere near us, and He still wouldn't care if He was around us. He still wouldn't care what happened to us. Have you ever felt that way? I think everybody has at one time or another. Sometimes we begin to feel like Job and wonder why we were ever born, and we might have friends like Job's or a spouse like Job's that says, why don't you just curse God and just die? You ever felt that way? If you're truthful, I think most of us have went through these times in our lives that we just wonder why God even allowed us to live. And if He does, and does He really love us? But if keep your head above the details. The details of your life right now do not reflect the final or ultimate reality. You may be going through something today, but that's not the final reality of the outlook, of the outcome. It's going to be different than this. Have you ever worried about something on Monday and by Friday you didn't even remember what it was you was worrying about? Because it all worked together for the good and it worked out for you? Have you ever stressed for weeks or months and then found out what you were stressing over, God already had it in control and He's already working and making a plan? His plans for you are good. Your desired end is good. And we got to depend on God. So opinions are fickle. Emotions can be up and they can be down. I've been up. I've been down. I've been where, I mean, haven't you? We all have at times. We're up and down, all around. Don't know where we stand sometimes. Well, we got to remember to stand on God and that the details, it's in the details. And what looks like bad today is probably not going to be that bad tomorrow. Hang in there. Trust God. But God, you see, God never changes. And His promises are everlasting. His amens are, His word is yes and amen. Amen. Yea and nay. That's God. You can trust God. You can trust His word. Don't allow yourself to get up caught up in the swirl of negative details. There's negative all around us. Don't get caught up into it. Keep your head above the details. Trust God. Secondly, stay in the Spirit through the Word, prayer, and worship. I just want to say before I even go any further that if I find out if I stay in the Word and I stay in prayer, that really does change my attitude, it changes it tremendously. It makes a big difference in everything, every aspect of my life. Does it mean I still don't have struggle? No, it don't mean that. It means it changes my outlook of it, though, because I've been communing with God. And it makes a big difference. So you need to understand that. So you see, faith is not denial. Faith is not putting your head in the sand. Faith is believing in the absolute truths of God's Word, His infallible Word. Put your faith in God's Word. If you've been reading the Word this year with me, as I ask you to, I started in Genesis. I'm up into Job right now, reading the Word of God. And I've read several, in some of the Psalms in different places, but I've read up to that point and I've seen God's victory. I've seen misery in people's lives. I've read all about what's going on in all through that portion of Scripture, but I found out all through it all, God has always been faithful to His Word. If He said He would do it, if He did it, if He said, if you'll do this, this is what I'm going to respond with, then God responded that way. And if He said, if you do evil, this is how I'll respond, guess what? That's how God responded. But when He said, if you'd repent, I'd forgive, then guess what? He forgave. God always does what He promises to do. He never fails in that sense. He's not fickle like we are. He doesn't make a promise today and break it tomorrow. His promises are true forever and forever. So you need to understand, He never changes. Don't get caught up in the swirl of negative details and stay in faith. Understand that God's declared Word is infallible. In that sense, faith is taking hold of the ultimate highest reality. Faith is believing what God says. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We don't always see the outcome, but we know there's going to be one. We don't always know the ultimate the victory that we're going to have, but we know we will have victory. Come on, we don't know when it's going to be there sometime, but we know we're going to attain victory. No matter what it is we're going through. So take hold of faith. Have your faith. In order to do this, we have to make choices in the Spirit. And we do this by reciting and reading the Word and praying and seeking God and casting every burden upon Jesus in prayer. How many of you do that? Do you cast it upon the Lord? A lot of people don't. A lot of people, Christians, don't cast their burdens on the Lord. They carry them themselves. They say they pray, but every word out of their mouth is negative. Every word out of their mouth is they're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. They're so concerned about tomorrow, they're not living today. They can't enjoy the blessings today because they're worried about tomorrow. There's some things you can't control. There's some things you can't change, but you can depend on God to keep His Word. You can depend on God to take your burden and carry that burden. And you need to understand to do that, you must worship and praise Him in spite of what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through today. Worship and praise Him. Get into His Word. Believe what His Word says. Stand on His Word. Walk in His Word. Live in His Word. And just keep on believing God. He's going to bring you through. We don't do that sometimes. We see our circumstance. We see our illness. I just got to go back to what Job said. I know my Redeemer lives. Y'all realize, have you read the story? Do you remember the story? He lost everything. He lost all of his children. He lost all of his substance, all of his wealth. He lost it all in one day. And then the next day, Satan comes and says, this is what I've done. Well, and you know, all this stuff. God says, have you considered Job? Yeah, I've considered him. You still got a hedge on him. Okay, I tell you what, you can do anything you want to Job, don't take his life. So then he comes against Job personally. I wonder why Satan didn't take his wife. He had permission to. You know, I guess it's because he knew she was going to nag him and drag him down. Not all wives do that, but that one did, didn't she? She said, why don't you just curse God and die? He's sitting there with scraping his boils with... scraping his balls and sitting in hot in ashes. She says, why don't you just curse God? He didn't curse God, didn't sin at all through it all. He said, my Redeemer lives. He wondered why he was ever born, but he said, my Redeemer lives. I don't know what the outcome of this is going to be, but I'm trusting God. My Redeemer lives. You may not know the outcome of your life today. You may be facing some financial difficulties. You just don't know what you're going to do. You may have sickness in your life and you don't know what you're going to do. You may be facing divorce today and you just don't understand what you're going to do. I don't know what it is you're going through, but God knows and God cares. Keep your faith. Maintain your faith. Cast your burden upon Him. You see, it was no coincidence that liberating earthquake that Paul and Silas experienced when they were in jail. That was no coincidence. They spent the night in prayer. They were casting their burden on Him. They were chained in stocks and bonds that night. And they were raising their hands. I don't know how they had them there. I know everything was bound up. But I guess they just lifted their little pinky. Out there like that, can't get my arms up, but I'll raise my pinky up. I'll stretch my fingers out. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, I don't know the rest of it, the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. Joy of the whole world is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great King. I could just hear them singing it. And I don't think so. They didn't sing like that. They didn't sing that bad, preacher. Maybe they didn't, but they were praising God in the midnight hour. They didn't know whether they'd be killed tomorrow. They didn't know whether they'd be delivered tonight, but they were raising up their hands as high as they could, and they were lifting their voices as loud and as in tune as they could get, and they were just singing, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And at the midnight hour, the Bible said there was an earthquake. Hallelujah. Right when they were in their death, mostly right in the middle of praise, but in the middle of a desperate situation, there was shaking going on, and God was in control, and God was listening to the praises of His people, and He was saying, that cell can't hold them any longer. Those chains are going to be broken off. That sickness is going to go away. That hurt's going to go away. That pain's going away. That desperation's leaving them. That despondency's going away. That cancer's falling off. That marriage is being restored because they dared praise God in the storm and in the stocks and in the bond and in the prison. You may be bound up today. You may be sick today. You may be going through some circumstances that we are unaware of, but God is aware of them. Lift up your hands and shout to the Lord for the victory because your Redeemer lives. Amen. Give praise in the house. You see, they could have been focused on their problems, but instead they were focused on God. They could have given in to all these things going on around them. They had real problems. They had real pain. Instead, they praised God and they focused on what God was going to do. They didn't know how He was going to do it. They didn't know if they was going to give their lives tomorrow, but it didn't matter. They were going to focus on God. And we need to focus on God. Our Redeemer lives. He lives. He lives. Number three, we need to remember that Jesus has risen from the dead and He's still Lord. We just preached about it last week. He's alive forevermore. He's alive. I don't mean to be trite, but I know that Jesus died for my sins. I know He rose from the dead and ascended to heaven as Lord. And with firsthand knowledge, I can live in confidence the rest of my life. I have confidence in that He died for me. I don't care what comes my way, come what may. I know I can trust God. I know that Jesus died for me. I know He's forgiven me of my sins. We just celebrated his death and resurrection this past weekend. We were reminded how dark it looked for his disciples right after the resurrection. Don't you remember how dark it looked for them? They all forsaked him. He was crucified. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were fearful for their lives. They didn't know what was. They'd followed him for 3.5 years. They had took up their cross and followed him. They had forsaken all to follow him. They thought he was bringing some wonderful kingdom. He thought he was a king. Come on, they're confused now. I know he talked to them, but they didn't comprehend it. They were still looking for an earthly king. They hadn't comprehended it, and when he died that night, they didn't know what to do. You know, they ran, they hid, they were fearful for their lives. They didn't know what tomorrow held. Their hopes and dreams had been shattered. They had allowed their faith and expectations to rise. The Messiah is here. Our hope is here. And is only crushed with cruel disappointment. And in reality, the world would tell them, your Messiah is dead. He's in a grave. You're dead wrong. They were disappointed. Can you imagine how crushed they were? But yet, he rose from the dead. He shattered the very power of death. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and now he has all authority. He says, I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I have all authority. The Father gave him all power in heaven and earth. It's his. He transferred it to us. You see, the world can't outweigh the reality. And I know that one day Jesus will return to establish his kingdom on earth. One day he's coming again. I know the final outcome will be good. I will be blessed. You will be blessed. And that fuels my attitude of faith. I believe God. I believe what he says. We may have it rough here on earth someday. We're doing pretty good right now. I know you've got your different situations and things you deal with and problems you're faced with. But ultimately, we have it pretty good as Christians right now in America. We still have it pretty good. But I know it's going to get better. And if it gets worse before it gets better, I still know it's going to get better. My Redeemer lives. He's coming again. He's not dead. He arose. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father today, making intercession for you and me. I still have faith in him, in the risen Lord. Number four, put yourself in remembrance and testify to the goodness of God. You need to remember what God's done for you already. In the midst of your trials, severe trials, it's easy to forget. When you go through something sometimes, it's easy to forget what God has done for you in the past. Because you're so focused on the here and the now. You forget what God's done. We need not forget what God has done and the goodness of God that he has bestowed upon us in the past. See, in severe trials, it's easy to forget. But put yourself in remembrance. Go back to your old journal entries if you make journal entries. Pick up the old books of faith. Read about the old time gospel and how God moved. Read books about how God's moving in the earth today. You can hear, you can read amazing accounts of things. Go back to your old journal entries and see how God brought you through different things. Rehearse what God has done. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Dust off those things that's in your mind and remember what God has done. Testify what he's done in your past and tell people about it and tell yourself, well, this is what God's done. So if God did that, I know he can fix this. We forget, we get down in the dumps, get discouraged. Oh, I guess it's just me. I do. I have to remind myself. I have to shake myself sometimes. Say, wait, hold on just a minute. This is what God did. So if God did that, he's going to do this. If I'm faithful, he's going to take care of it. You just got to learn to put calm assurance in what God's doing. Don't let yourself be too discouraged for very long. Encourage yourself in the Lord. before you know it, faith will rise afresh in you if you'll rehearse what God has done. Go to the Bible, read what God's done all through there. Go to your own entries and read how God's brought you through. Think about your life and remember what God's done for you. Don't get discouraged in this present temporary situation, no matter how severe it is. Remember what God has done in your past and encourage yourself in that. Testify of the goodness of God. Nobody wants to hear it anyway. You don't even want to hear it because it discourages you. When you rehearse all the bad things that's went on in your life. No, don't rehearse them. Only rehearse them in the context of this is what happened, but this is what God did. Because we all go through it. But God, my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. So, number five, put yourself in remembrance. Excuse me. That's number four. Number five, don't be moved from doing and believing what is right. To maintain your faith, don't be moved from being and doing what is right. I worked for a company a few years back, a hospice company, and I won't call their name, but anyway, they had this saying. It was, I can't remember what it was now, and then they're over here talking, and when them two get to talking, I'm wondering who they're talking about, and I always assume it's me. And they basically what they said was doing the right thing, always doing the right thing. Well, me and them didn't jive on that because their right thing didn't line up with what I thought was the right thing sometime. Because sometimes they'd do things that wasn't very biblical, in my opinion. So me and them would get crossways. I didn't work for them very long, by the way. They fired me. Well, no, they didn't fire me. They let me go. It's a difference. They downsized the office. I was one of those that was too big for my britches, and they let me go. Because they always do the right thing. And one day I was going to go visit a patient, and my supervisor said, "You can't go visit them." Why not? There was death in the family. I'm the chaplain. I need to go visit the family. I need to be there. "You don't need to go. We've got a nurse over there." I said, "Well, wait a minute." I said, "Well, I'm going to go do my visits." I took off, and you know where I went first, don't you? I went straight to that home where that death had just occurred, and I went in there to comfort the people. Well, the nurse was glad to see me. The folks were okay with me being there. When I got in, though, I got in trouble. She goes, "Where'd you go?" I said, "I went to do my visits." She said, no, "Where did you go?" I said, "I went to do my visits." She says, "No, did you go to that family's house?" I go, "Well, yeah, it's one of my visits." "I told you not to go." I said, "It didn't make me any difference, ma'am. I did the right thing." That's our theme. Always do the right thing. "But you disobeyed me." I said, "Ma'am, that was the wrong thing. I did the right thing." That's what I told her. She didn't like that. But I gave you a direct order. I said, "Yes, ma'am, I disobeyed it because it was not right. That family needed me. I'm a preacher. You got to understand that. I'm a preacher. Preachers go to where there's problems. They rally to people that are hurting. They were hurting. They needed a preacher. They didn't need your nurse. They needed a preacher." Anyway, a few months later, I was one of the first ones to get whacked. I don't care. I did the right thing. You always got to do what's the right thing. It reminds me of the 10 Israelite spies. How many remember their names? There were 12 of them. How many remember the other 10's name? Give me one of them. Somebody help me here. Don't turn over there where it's in the Bible in Numbers. I couldn't remember where it was at. I thought it was in... It's in Numbers 13, by the way. They're listed there. Nobody remembers their names, do you? But you remember Joshua and Caleb's name. Why was that? Because they did the right thing regardless of outside pressure. they did what they were supposed to do. They didn't bow down to the spirit of the age. They didn't compromise. They stood tall in the midst of the storm. They determined that they were going to be opposed to all the fair weather children of God, and they were going to buckle down when the moments called for it. You remember Joshua and Caleb. They said, "We are well able, but there's giants." Yes, and we're grasshoppers in their sight, but we are well able. But they're bigger than us. Yes, but we are well able. Don't buckle down. Don't knuckle under. But buckle down and do what's right in spite of opposition. They went into the promised land 40 years later. Those other 10 died in the wilderness. We don't know who they are today without going back and looking at it, but we remember the name of Joshua and Caleb. Developing spiritual backbone and a moral backbone pays great benefits, enabling us to see the vindication of the Lord and giving us greater strength to overcome the next trial and test. Always do the right thing. You want to maintain your faith? Do what the Word of God says. Maintain your faith. And then, number 6, remember that God is always working. God's the God of 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. He's always working on our behalf. He tells us to take a day off and rest. But he never sleeps and he never slumbers. His eyes are constantly upon us, watching over us to do good towards us if we'll maintain our faith. He's always working. When Joseph's brothers did to him what was absolutely terrible by selling him into slavery, they first thought to kill him, but instead they sold him into slavery. That was a terrible thing to do to him, but it was also a pruning of his character. We don't understand why it happened. He was a little bit boastful. He was just a teenage kid. A little bit proud like sometimes they are. A little bit boastful. Look at the coat Daddy got me. I'm his favorite. Oh, by the way, guys, I had a dream. And I was in the middle and all these others. Sheaves of corn, they bowed down to me. Well, they knew what he was saying. He should have kept that to himself. So he had his character pruned just a little bit. But you know what? It turned out for his good, didn't it? When you read the story, it turned out for his good. He ended up in prison, but he ended up being exalted and made prime minister of Egypt. God took what looked like it was bad and turned it for the good. Not just for him, but for his brothers and their families and their families' families. For the good. You see, the crucifixion of Jesus was one of the worst crimes ever committed in the face of the earth in human history. But God used it for the salvation of the world. Looked bad, didn't it? But he used it for our salvation. Out of the ashes of the Holocaust, Israel was born. Our Father, God, is always working things, turning things around for the good to those who love Him. Look at Romans 8:28. And I'm about to wind this down. Romans 8:28, and we know the scripture, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's what it says. We know that all things work together for the good to those who love God. Hang in there. God's always working on our behalf. He turns stumbling blocks into stepping stones. Things meant for evil and makes them platforms of good. You remind yourself of that. God's always working on your behalf. It may look bad today, but God's working on your behalf. I hope you're getting something out of this. God's working it over. The God that we serve, that's how it is with Him. We can overcome and be more than conquerors. 1 John 4. chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith is what overcomes the world. Millions of believers have proven this right and to be true in their generation. Let's prove it to be true in our generation, that we're overcomers and all things work together for good. Hebrews 10:36 says this, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." But in verse 6 of that same chapter says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to encourage you to keep the faith today. I want you to understand that you can be more than conquerors today. I want you to believe in what God is doing in your life today. I want you to maintain an attitude of faith. If you read the Hebrews chapter, all through the book of chapter 11 of Hebrews, well, you begin to see some things, some people who never received the promise like we know we can receive it. They did. By faith, Noah entered the ark. You read that. Enoch, by faith, did not see death. We see that Abraham obeyed when he was called to leave his homeland. Sarah obeyed and who was barren and bore a child. Abraham again was faithful and offered Isaac a sacrifice, but God provided a ram in the thicket. Come on now, it looked desperate for him. "I'm going to give my son." He was faithful to do what God asked him to do. There was others in faith that didn't receive their promise. They seen the promise afar off, and they embraced it, and they confessed it, but they never received it. Come on now. I'm telling you, God's going to move on your behalf if you'll have faith. You may not receive it right now, but if you'll have faith, you'll receive it. We're just lacking faith sometimes. And instead of believing God and standing up and maintaining our faith, we give up too soon. We give up right on the brink of a miracle. There's an old song, "Don't give up on the brink of your miracle." We give up on the brink of the miracle. God wants you to maintain your faith. If you go on and read into chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, you'll see that Abraham offered Isaac. I said that. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Jacob, when he was died, blessed the children and all of his children and those of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, said, "I want you to take my bones back to Israel, back to the promise, back to Canaan." Come on, it wasn't happening for him, but he said, "One day our children of Israel are going back and you take my bones with you. I want to go home." By faith he did that. By faith, when Moses was born, his mother put him into a boat, let me say it that way, and put him out in the River Nile, and he was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. She had gave up, we had lost the deliverer. But the deliverer came. Come on, they did this all by faith. If you continue to read the story, you'll see where he forsake Egypt, Moses did. You'll see by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. You'll see by faith that Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and also David and Samuel and the prophets, by faith they subdued kingdoms. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched violence, a fire, escaped the edge of the sword. And out of weakness were made strong to become valiant in battle. All these different things by faith happened. You're an overcomer by your faith and the word of your testimony. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Maintain an attitude of faith. If you go on, it says in verse 39 in Hebrews 11th chapter, "And all these, having attained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." The next scripture says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us, ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race. Keep the faith. Your Redeemer lives. Maintain your faith. I don't know how to say it any better than that. Maintain your faith. May look bad today, but maintain your faith. Looks like we're going down. We're not. We're not going under. We're going through. Amen? Heaven's pretty close by. Jesus is coming pretty soon. Maintain your faith. In a little while. In just a little while. He's coming. And He won't tarry long. Maintain your faith. It's worth it. Stand with me. There's some people who need prayer today. We don't need no music. We need you to pray. Come here. How many know we get in the habit of doing things a certain way when we don't have to? This is my helpmate. She's helped me for a long time. She gets overlooked a lot of times when it comes to things like this. If you got a need today, big or small, our Redeemer lives. If you're having trouble maintaining your faith today, you're going through something seems like it's insurmountable, our Redeemer lives, and He's waiting today to meet your need, give you the victory. Is anybody else besides Sister Bertha? So the rest of you, I bet there's some more here if I was a betting man. There's probably some more here. He's got some needs. If you don't give them to God, God ain't going to take them away from you. You want to hold on to it, and then just hang on to it. You want to keep being sick and down and out and broken hearted and desperate and despondent and in despair, that's your business. But God's here today to bring deliverance if you want it. Amen? Before we pray for these two ladies, we're going to pray for Mickey Fleming.